everyone seems so busy. And so I've been thinking about it over the last little while, and I've been asking myself, why is everyone so busy? I don't think they're making it up. They really are busy. But why? Why are they so busy? Why are so many men leaving the raising of their children to their wives because they're always at work? Why are people becoming increasingly impatient at waiting in queues? I was there at the Taste of Tasmania on the first day that it was on when the weather was good, and it was just packed, and there was a guy behind me and he said, "Get out of the way." I mean, there's I don't know how many thousands of people, and I'm, "Get out of the way." And I turned around and I said, "A bit impatient, are we, pal?" He said, "Oh, I'm in a rush. I've got to meet my wife." I said, "Mate, there are 3,000 people in here waiting to meet their wife." Why are we so frantic and busy? Why do families not eat their evening meal together because one of them is not there? Why are, and this is, here's the question, why are workaholics in the church almost respected while alcoholics are treated differently? Why is everyone so busy? Well, you can tell me whether you think I'm right or wrong about this. This is my theory. I think the reason that people say they're so busy is because busy has become the new good. Or to put it another way, busy is the new holy. Good people are busy people. Busy people are good people. I think that's what we're seeing in our society today. Why do we see that in our society today? Why do we want to be busy? Why do even retirees need to tell you that they're busy? Well, have a listen to the answer that the American theologian Eugene Peterson comes up with as to why he's busy. He says, "I am busy because I am vain. I want to appear important, significant. What better way than to be busy? The incredible hours, the crowded schedule, and the heavy demands on my time are proof to myself and to all who will notice that I am important." Do you see what he's saying here? If you are busy, then you are worth something. You are significant. You are important. If you are busy, then it means your life has meaning. We need to be busy because we're afraid if we aren't busy, then that will be an indicator that we actually are living a meaningless life. And so our good work becomes something it was never intended by God to be. Rather than our work being about other people, rather than our work being about serving others, our work becomes about us. We need work for us. It's the thing that gives us life. It's the thing that saves us. We don't just need to work. We need to work if we're going to know deep down happiness and fulfillment. We need to be able to say to someone who asks us how we're going that we're busy, because if we're not busy, then why are we here? Busyness, in my estimation, and I'm very happy to have a discussion with you about that if you think I'm wrong, but busyness, in my estimation, is the new holiness. Well, in these verses from Luke's Gospel that we've just had read to us, we meet some of the busiest dudes in the whole Bible. These blokes are the real deal. Their work ethic would be the envy of anyone today in upper middle management. They are convincing, they are loyal, they are zealous, they are respected as authorities, even by the people who disagree with them. They are the Pharisees, busy men, religious leaders of their day. And they are men who are convinced that you are saved by your work. That busyness is holiness. That you are justified, that you are saved by what you do. But then they meet Jesus, and he tips them on their self-righteous heads, and he says that what they are looking for can never be found in what they do. Work can save no one. What they are looking for, the deep happiness and fulfillment that they want, can only be found, he says, in him. If they want to know what it really, truly means to be human, if they want to know what it really means to have an authentic identity, then they need to stop working and they need to start resting. They need to stop striving and they need to start Sabbathing. To practice Sabbath, you see, is to rest. These Pharisees thought they knew about the Sabbath, but as we'll see, they didn't have the first clue. So let's look at these verses. We're going to look at these verses in three parts or under three headings. We're going to see firstly that Sabbath is about creation. Sabbath is about creation. Secondly, we're going to see that Sabbath is about redemption. Sabbath's about creation. Sabbath's about redemption. Thirdly, we're going to see that Sabbath is about Jesus. Three things. Sabbath is about creation. Sabbath is about redemption. Sabbath is about Jesus. So, firstly, Sabbath is about creation. We can see there, can't we? One Sabbath, Jesus is going through the grain fields and his disciples begin to pick some heads of grain. They pick them, they rub them together in their hands and they eat the kernels. They're hungry, so they have, I guess, the equivalent of a muesli bar out in the fields. But what they're doing doesn't go unnoticed, because some of these busy men, these Pharisees, are there with them, probably waiting for Jesus or his followers to do something that in their eyes was the wrong thing. They're waiting to pounce. They're like the paparazzi waiting for something to happen. So when they see Jesus' disciples pick, rub and eat, they pounce. They want to know why these guys are doing something that is unlawful on the Sabbath. These Pharisees, you see, they know the law of God. They know the law is very clear about one thing. God calls on us to rest from our work one day out of seven, and it's an excellent law, by the way. It's one that God has given us for our good. They know the law says that we should rest one day out of seven, but to this law of God, they've added 39 regulations, 39 sub-clauses that hang off the one command. And they have prohibited lots of things that God never intended to prohibit. They've turned the Sabbath from a blessing into a burden. And one of the 39 prohibited Sabbath day activities was the reaping of grain, which is what they've caught the disciples of Jesus doing. And they say, gotcha, snap, gotcha. Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? They ask the question of the disciples, but Jesus, you'll notice, answers them and reminds them of what their great hero, the Pharisees' great hero David, had done when he and his companions were hungry years and years ago. He takes them back into their history books, back into the life of David, and he reminds them what David and his companions had done years and years ago when they'd been hungry. David took some of the bread from inside the temple that only priests were allowed to eat. David was no priest. They took the bread from inside the temple that only priests were allowed to eat, and he ate it. And he handed some of this consecrated bread out to his companions as well. What's the point Jesus is making here? Why is he going back into the history books and digging this one up? He's saying that the Sabbath is all about resting in the goodness of God's creation. It's about celebrating his creation and enjoying his creation. The Sabbath day of rest is not about limiting our enjoyment of God's world. It's about expanding our enjoyment of God's world. God gives us the Sabbath so that we can remember that he's the one who made the world. He's the one who's given us the world as a gift of grace. We're to receive, we're to enjoy what he's given us. And actually, in the Old Testament book of Exodus, we see that when God gives his people the Ten Commandments in chapter 20, in Exodus chapter 20, when God gives his people the Ten Commandments, he links the Sabbath with his creation. After giving the law and restricting work on the Sabbath, God then explains why he's done it, and he says this: in 6 days I made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So you see, God worked for 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh. Why? Someone must ask, well, why? Why did he rest on the seventh day? It's pathetic, really. I mean, did he need to lie down? Was he physically drained? Did he need to? Was it because of exhaustion? No. God rested because he looked back on what he'd done in creation, and he enjoyed it. God enjoyed his creation. He was so happy with what he'd done in creating the world that he took satisfaction in it. He saw it was good, and he was satisfied. I've got a wedding up north next Saturday. I'm actually taking the wedding, but actually I'm also giving the bridesmaids, or they're turning up to the wedding in one of my cars. I've got a 1967 HR Holden. I've got two of them actually, and they're both being used. And it's in a bit of a state at the moment, and I'm going to have to spend the week cleaning and polishing it, right? I've got the new upholstery in. It looks fantastic on the inside. On the outside, there's some work required. I'm going to have to spend a fair bit of time this week polishing it and cleaning it. After I've done that, after I have finished that, I know I'm going to be satisfied. I know I will enjoy seeing what my work has accomplished. And I will stop, and I'll sit back, and I'll look at it, and I'll rest. Or after I do something in the garden, the same kind of thing. I might weed the vegetable plot. I might plant some lettuces. I've got to do that. I might dig in some compost. And when I'm finished, I'll stop my work and I'll sit down on a chair with a drink. I'll see what I've done. I'll see that it's good and I'll be satisfied. And I'll rest from my work. That's what the Sabbath's about. God invites us into the rest that he enjoyed on day seven, and he tells us to stop work and enjoy what he's done. More than that, we're to stop work and we're to enjoy what we've done, and we're to look back on the working week, and we're to be satisfied with what we've done. We don't check our work emails on our rest day. We don't think about what we have to do tomorrow. We don't feel guilty about leaving our work totally alone. Enjoy the day, enjoy the rest, because God has sown into his creation a rhythm of work and rest, and so we need to go with the rhythm. Don't fight it. So, on your day of rest, have a nice coffee somewhere. Go for a walk along the beach. Enjoy a delicious meal. Smell the roses. Visit the botanical gardens. Go for a bushwalk. Listen to some music. Play hide and seek. Throw a ball. Kick a footy. Plant a tree. Pick some heads of grain and eat it. Have a barbecue with your friends. Sit by the docks taking the view. Go for a sail. Enjoy the wife of your youth. Receive God's good gift. Rest and be satisfied in it. Do you remember the film Chariots of Fire? Eric Liddell is the Scottish athlete who makes the Olympic Games, and he's a Christian. And in the film, we see that Eric Liddell's sister gets worried that Eric's running is going to take him away from God. He's made the Olympics. This is going to mean that he is no longer going to follow God. But do you remember what Eric said to his sister in the film? He says, I believe God has made me for a purpose, but he's also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. When I run, I feel his pleasure. That's what Sabbath rest is about, friends. It's about feeling God's pleasure in the world that he's made. It's about running, just for the fun of it. It's about remembering that we're not just a tax file number. We're not just a cog in the wheel. We are a creature of God, wonderfully, fearfully made. You are not the one who keeps the world running. God does that. You are not the one who provides for your family. God does that. In fact, it's not even you who's causing your work to flourish, if it is. God's behind that as well. The Sabbath is a day when we remember that God is sovereign over all of his creation and you're not. So we rest. That's the first thing we see in these verses. If you want to find wholeness and completeness in your life, if you want to have deep satisfaction in your existence, then you need to see that your work can't give that to you. Only God's work can. You will only enjoy true humanity if you rest in your humanness and are satisfied in God's godness. Sabbath's about creation. That's the first thing we see. The second thing we see in these verses is that Sabbath's about redemption, and we see that from verse 6. Luke, in the story, hurries us on to another Sabbath. And this time Jesus is in a synagogue teaching, and there's a man there whose right hand is withered. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law are there again. They're there with their cameras. They're watching extremely closely to see what Jesus is going to do. They want to know if he's going to heal on the Sabbath. And if he does, they will accuse him. They will undermine his authority. They have no problem with a person being healed on the Sabbath if that person's life's in danger. But if a person isn't going to die, then the religious leaders prohibited any type of healing at all. We can see from verse 8 that Jesus knows why they're there. He knows what they're thinking, and so he tells the man with a shriveled hand to stand up in front of everyone, and he asks the Pharisees and the teachers of the law a question at verse 9. I ask you, he says, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And they can't answer the question, so they say nothing. And then Jesus tells the man to stretch out his hand, and the man does so, and his hand is completely restored. What is Jesus doing here? He's showing that the Sabbath is about redemption. It's about reversing the curse of sin. It's about restoring humanity. We saw from Exodus a few minutes ago that when God gave the law, he tied the Sabbath to his creation. But actually, in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 5, God gives the Ten Commandments a second time, and this time he ties the Sabbath command to the Exodus, not to creation. He ties the Sabbath command to that great rescue mission of God when he brought his people out from the slavery of Egypt. Remember that you are slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. See, it's all about the Exodus here. God says that the Sabbath is about the redemption of his people. So every Sabbath day, God's people are reenacting their salvation from slavery. What was slavery like for the people of Israel? They were put to work in Pharaoh's brick-making factory. They were numbers. They were nothing more than units of work. They were dehumanized, and their identity was in their capacity as to how many bricks they could turn out. That's what God saved them from. He restored their humanity. He saved them from their crippling work conditions, and he brought them to freedom. So, if you're someone who just can't rest, and there might be some of you here, if you're someone who just can't take a day off, if work for you is just so important that you have to always be doing it, then whether you know it or not, you have become enslaved. You have become less than human. You've become a number. You've actually gone back to Egypt under Pharaoh, and you're making bricks. If you can't rest, then you are not free. Listen to the way that Tim Keller describes this in his book, Every Good Endeavor. He says, your own heart, or our materialistic culture, or an exploitative organization, or all of the above, will be abusing you if you don't have the ability to be disciplined in your practice of Sabbath. Did you get that? Your own heart, or your materialistic culture, or an exploitative organization like your work, or all of the above, will be abusing you if you don't have the ability to be disciplined in your practice of Sabbath. So if you're not disciplined in your practice of Sabbath, then you need to be, for your own good. The Sabbath is a day to celebrate what God has done for you in saving you from the slavery of sin. It's a day to remember that busy is not the new holy. It's a day when we remember that we aren't saved through our work. We are saved through God's work. We don't work on the Sabbath because we don't have to. We aren't making bricks for Pharaoh. We don't have to find our identity and our meaning for life in our work. We find it in God. He is the one who makes us whole. Our job can't do that. This is what one Christian writer in Britain has written recently. One of the greatest challenges facing Christians in the UK is to live the abundant life of Christ in the face of dehumanising, relationally destructive, and emotionally, physically, and spiritually debilitating effects of the contemporary workplace. Did you get that? The contemporary workplace is dehumanising. It is relationally destructive, and it's emotionally, physically, and spiritually debilitating. How do we push back against that kind of oppression? We remember that God has redeemed us. We tell ourselves and we tell each other that our jobs don't own us, and we have a day of rest. We practice the discipline of Sabbath rest. So, the Sabbath is about creation. The Sabbath is about redemption. And finally, the Sabbath is about Jesus. Or actually, it would be more accurate to say, the Sabbath is Jesus. You see, he's the one who, in this story here, draws to himself the cords of creation and redemption that we've been looking at. He draws those cords to himself. And he does it there in verse 5 when he says, the Son of Man, that's him, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. He's describing himself as Lord of the Sabbath, as the source of the Sabbath. What's the Sabbath about? It's about rest. It's about deep rest. So Jesus is saying, if you want to know real rest, true rest, deep rest, life-changing rest, if you want that rest, and we all do, we all want that. If you want that rest, if you want to be free from having to earn your own salvation, then you need to come to him. Stop trying to prove you're good. I know, we do it, don't we, all the time. We want people to see us and tell us we're good. Stop trying to do that. Stop doing that. Stop trying to be important. Stop trying to be busy. Stop telling people you're busy even when you're not. Stop trying to find the meaning of life and fulfillment in your work. Stop trying to save yourself, in other words, and rest. Surrender yourself to Jesus. He redeemed you at the cross by dying in your place. He saved you from the slavery of sin by taking your sin himself and being enslaved by it. And he won your freedom by giving up his own freedom. He died, you see, so you can live. He cried from the cross, "It is finished." And now he says to you, "Come unto me and rest." Jesus is the Sabbath. Well, let me finish with some verses from a song by Sarah Groves. I don't know if you know Sarah Groves. I think she's a pretty great American singer-songwriter, Christian singer-songwriter. And she's written a song called Remember, Surrender that I think actually could be about the Sabbath. Can't confirm that. But it sounds to me like kind of a Sabbath song. Let me just finish with a few of these verses. Remember, surrender. Remember the rest. Remember that weight lifting off of your chest and realizing that it's not up to you and it never was. Remember, surrender. Remember relief. Remember how tears rolled down both of your cheeks as the warmth of a heavenly Father came closing in. Remember, surrender, remember peace. Remember how soundly you fell fast asleep. In the face of your troubles, your future still shone like the morning sun. Remember, surrender. Remember that sound of all of those voices inside dying down. but one who speaks clearly of helping and healing you deep within. That's what the Sabbath rest is all about. It's a blessing, not a burden. It's a celebration, not a chore. It's about getting together with God's people like we are now. It's about remembering that God is our creator and our redeemer. It's about feeling God's pleasure and resting in what he's done for us in Jesus. It's about knowing we're more than a tax file number. It's about knowing we don't have to be busy because Jesus has done everything. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, help us to know more clearly what you have won for us in your Son, the Lord Jesus. Help us to know that he has given us everything we need in order to enjoy the deep rest that we so desperately yearn for. And help us to be people who are now going to sow into our calendars and into our diaries a rhythm which involves work and rest. Help us to be people who are unchained from the machinery of our work and who are able to enjoy what you've given us in your creation and your redemption. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.